We'll desire your prayers again this morning. I'm very thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord. So I have some thoughts to share with you that trust they're a blessing and a challenge. So thinking of our spiritual journey this morning that we all are on, we all have, we'll put it this way, we all are in different stages and phases of life in the natural sense. Some of us are younger, middle-aged, some are older, some with children at home, some not. And the same goes with our experience with the Lord. Some are young in the Lord. Others have maybe decades of experience of living for the Lord. But there's one thing in common with all of us in our spiritual journey, and that is we can't always afford to play it safe spiritually. And to settle in places of comfort, so to speak, and just to take it easy. But rather, we must persevere and continue on our journey to the land of promise. So I'll write the title on the board this morning. So I've written on the board, the danger of playing it safe. Now granted, I'm talking in spiritual terms this morning, because obviously in natural life, such as this morning, it pays to play it safe when we're driving in slick conditions, right? Yes, that's very wise. Take it slow, you know, and for some people, it's better just not to get out. Some people have other limitations that it's very wise to play it safe. But when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord, you know, there are some things that we must just persevere through. There are some things that we have to not just settle and to enjoy the natural comfort, so to speak, and enjoy it for long periods of time. But there's a story in the scriptures that I want to cover this morning. And it's one that, I'll be honest with you, that it's for my lifetime, I've heard all the stories in the Old Testament, but this is just a little detail that it kind of gets forgotten. You all remember the story of Abram when he left Ur and went to the land of Canaan. You all remember that story? Well, God called him to Canaan, but there's actually more that happened in the in-between that I want to read about this morning, and it's in Genesis, the 11th chapter. And we first want to talk about his father and his children, Abram's father. So I want to turn to Genesis, the 11th chapter, and we'll begin reading, verse 26. We may not read all these verses, but we'll start there. And before I begin, I'll just say this. Some of the names are pronounced differently the way it's shown here in the scriptures versus my Bible app versus other books. And so there's different ways to pronounce some of these names. So you have to bear with me on this, and I'm just going to pronounce it how I feel like it'll work for me. So we'll do verse 26. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nabor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. And Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, so notice the first part here. And this is where we understand, Lot, which was Abram's nephew. So this is where he comes from here. But Lot's father, Haran, died. All right. So he died before his son Lot did. And so that's why Lot traveled with Abram. Okay. But notice what took place here. Down in, verse 31, And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his son's son, and Sarai, and the daughter, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth, with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, which was actually a town, so it's separate from the name of Lot's father, all right? So it just happens to be the same name. And they came to Haran and dwelt there, okay? And then verse 32, in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran, all right? So the point is, to decipher all of this, Abram left with his family, his father, and his nephew, and they're on the way to Canaan, all right? They left Ur, but they only made it halfway, all right? They stopped in Haran, okay? And that's where Abram's father died. So if you read between the lines here, that wasn't his original plan. That wasn't Abram's father's original plan, was to stay in Haran, okay? So his intention was to go to Canaan, but he never made it, okay? So the scriptures don't say, they don't say why he didn't make it, all right? There's a lot of things we could surmise and maybe assume. And thinking of this journey, there's a lot of things. So you could say, and again, we don't know exactly how long they were there in Haran. We don't know. We're assuming by just reading some of the genealogies, it picks up in the 12th chapter where Abram was 75 years when he left there and continued on to Canaan. So he was no doubt there. They were there for some decades, for several years. But again, he never made it. Abram's father never made it. So again, some of the reasons could be maybe he was still grieving the loss of his son that died, you know, prematurely. We don't know the reasons why. But there's another part. If you look on the map, you'll notice that Haran is actually near the Euphrates River. And when Ur was actually more of a desert land, and so they're on the way to Canaan, and about halfway there, they come to this nice area that was very comfortable, okay? It was very, it was settled, and there was already, you know, well-established, and they got comfortable there. And they decide, you know what, let's just hang out here for a while. And perhaps they had plans to continue on, but Abram's father didn't. He didn't make it. He died there, okay? And to think of it, that maybe he got comfortable there in Haran there and thinking, you know, I've never been to Canaan, and it's an unknown territory over there, and it's not settled like this area is. So you know what? Maybe I'll just stay here. Or maybe I'll wait a little while, and perhaps this is what happened. Maybe he's staying there for several years, and then it's like, well, maybe I should go, but, you know, I've waited so long, and now I'm getting older. Maybe I will just stay. So maybe there is some indecisiveness there, or not really being intentional about what he wants to do. But ultimately, he died. He died there. He didn't make it to Canaan. That he set out to bring all his family with him to go to Canaan, but he settled there. All right, and you could say it this way, he was playing it safe. Just stay in this comfortable place, and everything's going to be fine, just kind of play it safe, but he didn't reach his destination, okay? Now, his son, Abram, made it there, and we read that in the 12th chapter, that Abram continued on, and he made it to the land of promise, all right? So thinking of it this way, you could say Haran was the place of comfort, okay, where they were able to relax. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. We're not saying you can't do that. But it continued for days and weeks and months. And then it went into years and then decades. And they're still there. They weren't continuing on to Canaan. Their original destination, he never made it. His father, Terah, never made it to Canaan. So again, he played, if you could say it this way, he stayed in the place of comfort and missed out on the land of promise. And thinking of that this morning, you know, who knows what Abram's father could have enjoyed there in Canaan. But we do know that Abram continued on and he received the promises. And we can read the 12th chapter of Genesis and on through Genesis. And Abram became the father of faith. And God blessed him for his faithfulness. But when we think about his father and what he missed out on, and then if we're to consider that perhaps for our own lives, you know, to be honest, it feels good to play it safe and stay in a comfortable position, doesn't it? It's easier. What about even just on the job? Let's just stop there and let's just talk about whether it's in a career or in school or whatever it is. It's like, you know what? I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but what if a person just wanted to stay in fifth grade for several years? You understand? It's like, well, that's kind of odd. You don't want to grow? You don't want to expand a little bit and learn, you know, and push and persevere and grow and mature and develop? No, I'm just comfortable right here. I'm just going to stay in fifth grade for a while. It sounds kind of funny, kind of silly. But, you know, sometimes in our spiritual walk with the Lord, it is easy because we're human. And it's easy to get just kind of relaxed and comfortable, and we don't quite make it perhaps where the Lord has intended us to go. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just going to draw a brief little diagram here. So they started out in Ur here. All right. And then they stopped at Haran. And then this was the destination. Of the promised land. But he made it this far. And he stopped. You know, just in my lifetime, and from some of my personal experiences, and maybe things I've observed with others, we can see where maybe God has had a calling, or for someone, or maybe a dream of doing something for the Lord or with the Lord, however you want to say that. And they make it so far. And then they get stuck along the way. And they maybe never make it to the destination. And then there's some folks that spiritually, they die along the way, and they never make it. They spiritually die. They lose out on something. They lose their spiritual momentum, if we can put it that way. And they stay in that relaxed, comfortable place for too long. Now, how long is too long? I don't know. That's between the Lord and us, personally. So that's not for us to dictate, but it's what the Lord has spoke to us, how the Lord has dealt with us, okay, and how he's leading us, that we don't know how long that is. It can be different for everyone. But to think of it this way, you know, there's, like I said, in the natural sense, it's good and wise to play it safe in a lot of ways. But when it comes to our spiritual being, our spiritual well-being, and our spiritual growth, and our spiritual gifts, and the abilities and the callings that God wants to use us in, if we decide to just take it easy and play it safe, Maybe it's because of some fears from the past, and maybe even the present. Maybe some fears of some unknowns out there. Well, I've never been to that territory. I've never been to Canaan over here. Never been there before. But I've come to this comfortable place in my journey, and it's like, I think I'm just going to hang out here for a while. And again, folks, the scripture says, the Lord knoweth our frame, and it is but dust. In other words, he understands our humanity. God gives room for that. Because physically and mentally, there's times we have to rest. There's times we have to pull back. We have to take it easy. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But the point was, they stayed there for decades. Decades, folks. And he ultimately died there, okay? And so that's the danger of playing it safe. Spiritually speaking, I'm going to play it safe, and I'm just going to camp out here for however long, just kind of with no real intentions, no real desires of moving up and growing and expanding. It's like, no, I'm just going to stay here and just kind of take it easy, if you understand what I'm saying. Whereas the Lord is saying, you haven't made it to your destination yet. Well, thankfully, Abram, he took that up. And he continued on. He persevered. But there's someone else I want to read about here this morning. I want to read about Moses in Deuteronomy, the first chapter. And he had several different journeys himself, Moses did. And this one particular time, the Lord spoke to him very directly and gave him some instruction. In Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and into all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, and to the great river, the great Euphrates. So the point was, there was a lot of journeying yet to do, a lot of places to go. And he said, you've dwelt here long enough. And you know, the Lord is faithful to visit us and to show us gently. God's not this mean father that just wants to pound you over the head with something. That's not how the Lord works. But he's faithful to visit us, perhaps multiple times. And in his mercy, he'll do that. And maybe he'll ruffle things up a little bit just to give us a hint, so to speak. And we maybe don't realize it at the time, but then he'll pay us another visit, maybe another avenue in another way, and say, child, I still have, there's some more room to go here. There's some more distance. You haven't reached the destination yet. And with Moses, he told him, you've been here long enough, and it's time to get up and go. You know, in our experience, in our spiritual journey with the Lord, like I said earlier, it is natural to have doubts, fears, disappointments, things that we struggle with because we are human. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay there for decades. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm just throwing that out as a loose number because only the Lord knows how long is too long, all right? So I'm not here to say that. But this is just a caution for us all that in our journey with the Lord, there is times where we have to rest. There's times we have to recharge. There's times where we have to have the personal one-on-one instruction with the Lord. Maybe he does pull us aside for a little bit. But then after a while, he's like, okay, now it's time to go. And Lord, help us that we go when he says go. What if Moses would have said, no, Lord, I think I just want to stay here for a while. The Lord had other plans for him. And then you remember the story of Elijah. Remember when he ran for his life from Jezebel and he ended up in the cave. And just to be honest with you, he was feeling sorry for himself. He's like, I'm the only one left. You know, how many times have we felt that way? There's sometimes in our spiritual journey, and it's not like there's no one else around, but the devil will tell us that we feel like we're the only one, so to speak, in our little world, all right? Well, the fact was, Elijah wasn't the only one being faithful. There were thousands of others who hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. All right? And the Lord had to speak to him, not through the lightning, not through the thunder, the earthquake, or all those. But it was a still, small voice when he's hiding in the cave, hiding for his life. Why? Because of fears? Why? Because of disappointments? He's like, oh, now I let the Lord down. Now, and he performed those mighty miracles and killed the prophets of Baal. And then he goes running for his life. But the fact of the matter was, he's proving he was human, just like you and I. In fact, the New Testament refers to that. One of the writers referred to that. But God wasn't done with him. What did he come down? He visited Elijah and said, I want you to get up and go anoint this other king over here. So in other words, get up and you've rested long enough, all right? You needed this, that's fine. But the Lord was faithful and merciful to him. And that still small voice visited him and said, Elijah, your journey's not done. You need to get up. And you remember the rest of that story? Ultimately, he was able to pass the mantle, literally and figuratively, onto Elisha. All right? So, but God still had some things for Elijah to do. And so he could have played it safe and just stayed in that cave for months later. I don't know. But you know what? He probably would have died spiritually. He may have survived physically. God was feeding and providing. But he may have lost out on something so crucial. All right? So that's where the dangers of playing it safe for too long, all right, can be a problem. So, thinking of this, again, in our spiritual journey with the Lord, I'm thankful again for His Holy Spirit that can come down and speak to us personally, individually. Because He knows, first of all, the Lord knows who we are. He knows where we're at. He knows what we have gone through. He knows the things we've struggled with. He knows how long we've been at this resting spot. He gets that. He understands that. But he also sees the end over here, all right? The destination, the calling, the land of promise, all right? The land that ultimately later was flowing with milk and honey that, you know, centuries later, he brought all of his people back to this land of Canaan, all right? There was quite a journey through all of that. But I think of all this, and I think of the song number 300 talks about the land of Beulah. How the Spirit led unerring. How the Holy Spirit is so faithful to us. And He's such a gentle spirit. You know, he's a gentleman. He just knocks at our heart's door. He doesn't just barge in and say, oh man, what are you doing? And just bust in the door and just toss us around and knock us in the corner. God doesn't work that way. He's a gentle spirit. He knocks on our heart. He's like, can I come in? Can I sup with you? Can I speak with you? Can I show you some things? That's the kind of God we serve, all right? He knows where we're at in our journey with Him. But I want to read some scriptures in closing here that are inspiring. These are familiar scriptures, nothing new. But I want to read what Apostle Paul wrote here in Philippians, the third chapter. In Philippians. The third chapter, and let's just, before I read these, I just want to consider Apostle Paul's life. His life was quite a journey itself. You know, there was times where he had to take a break, if I could say it that way, from preaching, and he worked with his hands. He made tents. And then it's like, that's long enough, all right, now I need to get up. I need to go travel and preach some more. You know, God used him in a variety of ways. But the encouraging thing here with Apostle Paul, even though he was met with much opposition from the outside and some with the inside as well, but yet being met with opposition and sometimes no doubt was tempted to just hang out and play it safe, just hang out somewhere, so to speak, spiritually speaking. And you know, he's like, you know, I've done enough. I think I'm just done. I'm just going to kind of coast for a while and just be comfortable for a while. You know, those that have, again, gone to school and with your teachers and professors, or maybe those on the job and with your bosses, you know, after a while, they're not content with you doing that, are they? They're like, okay, you've rested up enough, or you've taken a break long enough, or you've done this for, you know, it's time to get going again, all right? And no doubt Apostle Paul went through some of those same stages or phases as well. But notice what he did at the end of his career, the end of his life. He said, I must go to Rome. And he had a destination over here. And I don't understand, there's many that have kind of debated back and forth, said, well, that was not very wise for Apostle Paul to do that, because he knew he was going to get killed. And he did. But he felt an urgency to go, all right? So, and I'm not saying that's going to be our end, that we're going to be martyred like Apostle Paul. That's not my point. But my point is rather this. He knew in his spirit the Lord had spoke to him, and he felt deep within, this is what God called him to do, and so he continued on, all right? He could have taken it easy in the comforts of wherever he was at and just played it safe, but you know what? We would have missed out on some of his letters. He may have died off spiritually speaking and not continued to write these letters that we're reading here in the scriptures. We could have missed out on part of Apostle Paul, of his life. He could have died in an easy place there and not finished his course, all right? And he would, and we perhaps wouldn't have had these scriptures here. I want to read in Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, let's just stop and think about that for a little bit. Because quite honestly, Apostle Paul, especially when he was Saul, he had a lot of failings. He had some shortcomings. He made some blunders. He made a fool of himself. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop at that and say, you know, I feel silly. I made a fool of myself and I can't go on. No. He's like, all right, I'm going to have to take time because I am human. I have to take time and regain myself, regain my bearings a little bit, and connect with the Lord in a real way here and get the mind of the Lord again. Say, okay, Lord, what do you really want me to do? And Lord, okay, give me grace to do that. Lord, give me strength to do that. I can't do this on my own. And time again, Apostle Paul accounts the different challenges he went through, and he persevered through all of those until he said this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, okay? So there's the promised land over here, all right? He hadn't reached it yet. In verse 14, the key word I want to get out of this is, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Apostle Paul. Was this his own calling? No. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This was God's calling. It wasn't his own. It wasn't someone else's. No one else told him to do these things. It was that same one, Jesus, that met him on the road to Damascus. That's the one that spoke to him. That's the one that through the Holy Spirit gave him the instruction, gave him the courage, gave him the inspiration, gave him the strength, gave him the direction, gave him the timing. Of okay, I've taken a break long enough, so to speak, or I've taken some comfort long enough, and now I must needs get up and get going. But he persevered, and he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. And later, Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. You know, folks, we can have the same thing said about us, that we didn't get hung up somewhere back here in the middle, halfway to our destination, or we lost the fight. You know, we lost the desire to fight. We just kind of like, I'm just tired of fighting. I'm tired of pressing. I'm tired of pressing on for the Lord. And again, I'm not meaning just in our own physical strength, folks. I'm saying pressing on in the Spirit of the Lord, in His, from His calling. Not what we're pushing ourselves to do, but what is God calling us for? And you know, you think about that, and we've heard it said many times, God doesn't call us to something that He won't enable us to do. Just think about that. If God has given us a calling, He also will give us the ability and to enable us to fulfill that calling. Just like with Abram, God, he was through the strength and direction of the Lord, he made it to Canaan. And the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, centuries later, they made it into Canaan. A long time, yes, but they made it. They didn't stay in the wilderness. 40 years, that was a long time. But they persevered and they made it to the land of Canaan. The land of promise. The land flowing with milk and honey. An abundance of things. Folks, I'm thankful that we have had those who have gone on before us. I mentioned Abram. I mentioned Moses. I mentioned Apostle Paul. And there's many others. That they showed us how it's dangerous to play it safe, spiritually speaking, that sometimes we have to truly press. There's times we have to, again, as Apostle Paul said here, forget those things in the past and not allow the failures and not allow the fears of the future, of the unknowns to hinder us and to get us bogged down to where we're not able to finish the course, okay, and make it to our destination. But God's plan is that we make it to that expected end. And I want us to encourage us all this morning that by the grace of God, we can make it to the end. We can finish the course. We can, as Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Where was that? I want to read that real quick in closing. I just about quoted it all, and then it just slipped my mind. Sorry. I want to read that in closing here.
2 Timothy 4 and 7.
That's what it was, yes. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Folks, Apostle Paul, in his spiritual journey, he didn't die along the way. He lived, and he made it to his destination. We can too, by the grace of God. You pray for me, I'd be faithful.